Saints, we're going to use two texts this morning. I've wanted to get us back as a congregation, get us back into a more well-rounded gospel. I've preached four messages on what we're dealing with two Sundays in a row. There have been two-parters. And then on Wednesday, we continued our series on Lord, teach us to pray, which I've had a lot of good feedback, and your feedback is definitely appreciated, whether it comes to me or whether it comes to our audio people and now our video people. Your feedback is welcomed, it's appreciated, so we can feel like we're doing a good job or find out where we can do a little bit better. Okay, that is very close. All right. I shaved this morning. It looks pretty good. All right. We have two texts this morning, and we want to get back into, as I said, more rounded gospel. This is an evangelistic message, but it also applies to the time in which we live, okay? And then I'll tell Brother Alan when he can start recording, okay? Start recording the message, all right? Okay. Our scripture text this morning, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1, and Romans 13 and verse 11. Okay, 1 Timothy 3 and 1, Romans 13 and verse 11 for our scripture text this morning. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. In Romans 13 and 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Time is crucial to everyone. Its worth cannot be overstated. The value of time is realized in every aspect of life, in the temporal, the physical, and the spiritual. An abundance of time tends to make one feel lackadaisical, to procrastinate. When time to complete a matter has become short and a deadline fast approaches, a person is forced into action. Time is very important. It is important for everyone to wisely use the time given to them in these perilous times in which we now live. The title of our message this morning, Time and Times. Time and Times. We live in very perilous times, and those perils of the times have been present long before the Wuhan COVID-19 virus. The perils of this time are spiritual perils, which war against the elect, the saved, men being fierce, and we have faced that just this last week. Some of the horrible things, men being lovers themselves, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, and it just goes on and on. Those are perils of the time. And of course, this virus, which is just reaching around the world and causing all sorts of harm to our nation, people within our nation, shutting down our economy and jobs. That is part of this perilous time in which we face. We have to be very cognizant of the time in which we live. We can't ignore it. And it would be pure folly. It would be pure folly to ignore the perils of this time that we are facing. We have time. We have time to do much. And we have time to work for God, and we have time to make something good out of these bad times, these perilous times, that souls might be saved and the Church of God may be witnessed of in a pure and a very sound way. There are times now that those of you that are listening to me, and some of you are not saved, they're listening to me. There's a time now that you can think seriously, or should be thinking seriously, about your soul. Because Lord knows there have been many other times in this perilous time in which we live where you've ignored the altar call, you've pushed away the Spirit of God, and we've gone into this time of peril presented by this virus. We've gone into this time, or you've gone into this time, unsaved and so far away from God. Time's very important. It's important how we use it. It's important for everyone to use it wisely. It's important for us to discern the time in which we live. Do you know the time? Do you know the time? You say, preacher, I know the time. We're facing the virus. Well, this virus, it's more than about the virus. It's more about the virus. It's about your soul, and it's about how the enemy has captivated your soul and kept you from turning to God and finding salvation. We have to know. Thank God for knowledge. Thank God for a knowledge of the gospel. Thank God for an understanding of the gospel. Thank God we are not spiritually ignorant people. Man, there's a lot of things we don't know, a lot of things I don't know and never will know. A lot of things about the world, a lot of things about physics and mathematics and technology, and I'm admitting to that more all the time. I'm glad for those in the congregation that have a knowledge of technology, because it's a great help and an asset to us in this time in which we're going through. A lot of things I don't know, though, but there are things that I do know, and I do know that God wants all of us to be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to salvation. He wants you to know also. And the fact that you're listening to the gospel today gives you an opportunity to increase your knowledge. Some of you already know. Some of you already know about salvation. You know about being sanctified. You know about living holy. You know that. And some of you have taken advantage of that in years past, and you continue to be a good saint of God, a good brother, a good sister in Christ. But yet some of you have that knowledge and you haven't done anything with it. And I speak that to your shame. Knowing. To know is to desire to find out, to explore, to get to the depth of something. When that word is used in our text in Romans 13:11, knowing the time, it means see that you know. Make the effort. Take the effort to know. Avail yourself to knowledge. It also means don't miss knowing. Don't miss out on this. Don't miss out on this gospel. In 1 Peter 5:8, I'm going to read to you from the Amplified. It says, be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind, be vigilant and cautious at all times. For that enemy of yours, the devil, roams around like a lion, roaring in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon and devour. Do you know this? Do you know this? This is knowledge, amen, that you need. This is knowledge that many of us have. We have an adversary. He's not changed. The adversary to every man and woman's soul is Satan. And the word here, Peter likens him unto a lion who is hungry and he's looking to devour. He's looking to seize upon and devour souls. Dear one, this is something that you need to know and you need to do something about. You need to seek to know. And then we need to know the time. And we live in a critical period. The Greek uses the word ton keron, which means the time. It speaks of an age. It speaks of a critical period. It speaks of a special period of time. And we know that the perilous times that we are in, aside from the virus, we live in a critical time. We live in this time of preliminary judgment. We are right at the end of this time of preliminary judgment before the return of our Savior Jesus Christ. That is a critical time. That is a critical period of time. But we now enter this time in which we're facing the plague, this virus, and all the repercussions of it, we are physically living in a very critical period of time, and we need to be aware of it. We need to be very cognizant of it. As we are aware of it and made known of it all the time in the news and in talking to individuals and what we read and things such as that, we need not ever forget, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. We cannot forget that. We need to know it and realize, amen, that we are in the last of the last days. It is a critical period. It is a special period of time. That time where our salvation is nearer than we first believed. You can say, what does that mean? Well, it means that Christ's, return, his second advent is pending. It's just right out there, and he could come at any time. Zephaniah 1 and verse 7 says, for the day of the Lord is at hand. What a critical period of time. We need to be very aware of it. Let's go to Luke 21. Luke 21, verse 26 to 28. We use the church, we in the Church of God here, we use the King James Version of the Bible. And so if you're reading from another version, it may sound a little different. We preach primarily from the King James, and upon occasion, I will refer to the Amplified. This comes from the King James, Luke 21, verses 26 to 28, and I think I will turn maybe a little more towards this camera and look out at you people at home, okay? Luke 21, verse 26, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. That is the time. That is indicative of this time that we're living in, this time of disease and time of virus, where men's hearts are failing them because of fear, where there is panic. If anything has spread faster than this virus, it has been the panic and the fear. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Is that not the time? Is that not what we're dealing with right now? Of course it is. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with great power and great glory. Man, this is even a more significant time. Let's not get caught up in all the hysteria and the panic and forget that our redemption is just right out here. Our salvation, amen, it's nearer than we believe. Let's not forget to prepare and stay prepared for the day of the Lord. It is at hand. When this is all going on and men are consumed with panic and they're consumed with fear and they're wringing their hands and they're doing drastic and unreasonable things, amen, the Word tells us, Christ tells us, then, it'll happen just like this, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Let's not forget that. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Let's not forget that, folks. We know that. Let's not forget that, and let's understand the time and the times in which we live. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 to 6. 1 Thessalonians 5, chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Here Paul is giving credit to the saints at in Thessalonica, the church of God at Thessalonica. He's saying, I really don't need to write to you about the times and the seasons. You should be aware of these things. And he says here in verse 2, for you, this is what they should have been aware of. This is what he was crediting them with already being aware of. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Church of God at Conoquinessing, brother, sister, we are not children of darkness. We are children of light. And thank God, amen, we have a knowledge of the truth, and these things have been revealed to us. We have an appreciation of these things. We understand these things. These things should not come upon us, amen, unawares. They shouldn't overtake us as a thief. We should remain prepared and ready, regardless of the time and the things that are going on in this critical period of time. We must remember, amen, that our redemption is near. Our salvation is close. Praise the Lord. We need to stay prepared. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should not overtake you as a thief. Verse 5, you're all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. The song says, let us watch and be ready. He will come. He will come. Hallelujah. Amen. He's coming. We need to watch, be sober. We need to watch and be ready. We need to understand this. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5, 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 5, we read here of Paul prophesying of the last days. And we are in the last of the last days. And these things that Paul writes to Timothy have come to pass, and we live right in the midst of these conditions that Paul writes, amen, that we are about to read. This know also, there's that word know. Know this. Seek to find it out. Seek to understand it. And then with what knowledge you receive, keep it. Keep it and be wise with it. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. They are here. The last days are here. Amen. They are here. These perilous times are here. They were here long before, amen, the virus, amen, started spreading around the globe. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. They shall be covetous. They shall be boasters, proud, blasphemers. Blasphemers of who? Of God. They blaspheme God. They blaspheme the truth. They blaspheme those that bring the truth. They blaspheme, amen, against God's church and against righteousness. They'll be proud. They'll be blasphemers. Amen. They will be disobedient to parents. They'll be unthankful. And they'll be unholy in these perilous times. Don't we see that? Don't we see that all around us? It goes on in verse 3, and he says, in these perilous times, people will be without natural affection. Do I need to go into detail on that? I think not. But that's the world we live in today. Perverted, strange, peculiar. And that's being kind. It's evil and it's sinful. Without natural affection. Truce breakers. Truce breakers. False accusers. Incontinent. No control. We live in a world that's out of control. Amen. If anything controls them, it is sin and self. Out of control. Fierce. Live in a very fierce world. I have faced it this last week. And I let you know a little bit of what I was dealing with. Fierce. They're fierce. People are fierce. You know, it's one thing to face the carnal ferociousness of the world. And we can expect it, the intensity to be turned up in these perilous times against the church and against truth. It's one thing to face that carnal ferociousness of the world. God help us if it comes right from our pews. God help us, amen, if there is a fierce a spirit and a boldness, amen, that comes, amen, right out of the pew and is directed towards the pastor and the truth and directed towards the saints. God help us if it comes right out of the pew. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Heady. High-minded. So proud. Men are arrogant. Men are proud. Amen. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And this is something we're facing right now. The pleasures of the world have been taken away in many instances. They can't go out and do. They can't attend. They can't go and root for their favorite team. And amen, there's a lot of things that people can't do anymore. They can't gather together. And so some of those pleasures have been taken away. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. The local paper, the Butler Eagle, every night has had a, or every day, has had an article on the front page written by a member of the clergy in the area here. And there have been photos and other articles talking about the good works of different congregations. And then there's been much said about the people. No, they're not gathering in the houses of worship, but they are flooding the streamed services, the live stream services, and they're online more than they ever have been. What I'm afraid of is people are turning to religion and not really turning to salvation. What I'm afraid of is people are acquiring a form of godliness, or even more of a form of godliness than what they had before, but they are denying the power of that godliness. They've not come to the place where they've truly been saved, where they have truly repented. You're going to have to do more than listen to a live stream service to be acceptable in the eyes of God. You got to repent. You got to turn from sin. You've got to be saved to sin no more. It's easy to pick up a form of godliness. It's easy to turn to a religion or a denomination during this time, especially when you don't have to attend service. You can just do it in the ease of your living room or your bedroom with an app or with a live video stream on a website. It's a whole other matter when you are asked to attend a service, sit under the preached gospel, and then make a decision for Christ at an altar during an altar call. It's a whole other story when you're asked to give up sin and turn completely from it. I'm concerned today because of the newspaper and local radio and things such as that, making an avenue or giving religion a forum to get up and to try to calm the people through the word and through what they write and what they may say. What I'm concerned is that people are getting religious but not getting salvation. God help us. It's been a concern of mine to know how to reach people during this time, that we can talk to them about what real salvation is and give them a real hope. Well, back to verse 5, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. What does Paul say? He doesn't say get close to them. He said turn away from them. Turn away from them. This time demands preparation and demands watchfulness. And I'm talking about the time in which we live spiritually. This time of preliminary judgment. This time where the second advent of Christ could occur at any instant. This time demands preparation and demands watchfulness. Most are spiritually indifferent when they should be feeling a sense of urgency. And I feel that in our country today, there is a lot of urgency because of the time. And there's a lot of urgency because of the restrictions of time. It behooves medical science. It behooves the researcher to find the cure, to find a vaccine. Amen. They're working against time. It is that effect of time and that deadline and how quickly, amen, people have to work. It affects our government. It affects our federal government, our state government, our local governments. Amen. People are working against time and doing what they can do, amen, because of the urgency of the hour. We need to remember, though, something that is far more important as far as eternal consequence, in terms of eternal consequence. Most are spiritually indifferent during this time when they should feel a sense of urgency. They need to feel a sense of spiritual urgency because time is working against them. Man, Christ could come at any time, and that's the way it's always been. But even in this time, you say, well, what if Christ doesn't come? Well, let's consider the scores of people that are dying because of this virus. It could happen to anyone. You say, well, it just happens to the older, those that have pre-existing health conditions. True, they are the ones most susceptible to dying because of this. But I've read accounts where infants have died. I've read accounts where 40-year-old men who have been healthy and strong have contracted this virus, and in a brief amount of time, they had died and gone out into eternity. I've read where young people have contracted this. Healthy, strong, not a problem, but just in a period of days, they were down in the flat of their back and then out into eternity. We dare not be spiritually indifferent. We need to feel a sense of urgency. Church, we need to feel a sense of urgency. Amen. If you're saved, stay saved. Saved and sanctified, amen, you need to stay that way. It's an urgent thing. Stay that way. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You know my concern. I've not hid it from you. I've been very concerned. Times like this will take the strong and cause them to become weak. Times like this will destroy the weak. We'll take the weak and destroy them. Why is that? Because we're not able to gather. We're not able to assemble. There's many in the world today feel like assembling for worship is not important. But it is important. It's of the utmost importance that we gather together as God's people in a local congregation where you can hear the truth, where a pastor can watch out for your soul. And I'll tell you, I feel rather handicapped and ineffective when I have to watch out for people's souls via a streamed video, via a streamed audio, via a telephone or email. It's much better when you are preaching to a congregation and you can see how they're feeding. It's much better when people have the opportunity to come to an altar and get counsel. It's much better when the sinner, amen, feels conviction from a message. And when the altar call is given, they can press out of their pew and come to an altar, amen, broken and contrite, and ask God to forgive them. That's much, much better. I feel handicapped. Those that are strong need to remain strong. Not being in church can make even the strong weak. Those of you that are weak, you need to work to build yourself up in your most holy faith. Because times like this can destroy the weak and cause you to falter and backslide. When this is all over, when the dust settles, amen, I want to see us all back to church, and I want to see people saved, loving God, rejoicing in their salvation. But I have to be pragmatic in this. It's not going to be that way for some. I'm afraid some will fall. We dare not be spiritually indifferent. We need to feel a sense of urgency, spiritual urgency. There is much concern for the things of the world and of the flesh. Jobs, savings, IRAs, the stock market, sports, vacation plans, etc. But little concern for truly preparing for eternity. You've got to have more than religion to get you to heaven, folks. You got to have more, amen, than watching a live streamed service to get you to heaven. You have to have more than being joined up with a denomination to get you to heaven. Amen. You've got to be saved. And to be saved, you've got to hear the truth. Christ said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth. It's the truth that will set you free. Paul writes, amen, faith comes by hearing, that by the very word of God. He also writes in Hebrews to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but to do it all the more as you see that day approaching. Again, back to that day. What is that day? The time of our redemption, our salvation drawing near. Amen. Christ's return. Ecclesiastes 1, verses 14 to 15. Ecclesiastes 1, verses 14 to 15. I feel like my world has been turned around. For those of you listening to the audio or listening to this recorded message, when I say my world has been turned around, Brother Andrew and Brother Alan have just turned the pulpit so I can face the camera. Be a little better that way, I guess. All right, Ecclesiastes 1, verses 14 to 15. Let me set this in our minds, give you some knowledge about Ecclesiastes, written by the smartest man that's ever lived. That was Solomon, the smartest man that ever lived. His book of Ecclesiastes is full of observations, analysis, good advice. We're going to read in Ecclesiastes first chapter, and then we're going to read in Ecclesiastes the second chapter some scripture. And this is from the thought that I gave you, that there is much concern for the things of the world and for the flesh, jobs and savings and IRAs, the stock market, sports, vacation plans, etc., etc. Okay. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 14. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, it is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. The wisest man that ever lived, he made this observation. He said, I've seen all the works. I've seen the things that are done under heaven, and I have arrived to the conclusion, to this fact, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked can't be made straight. And that which is wanting, well, I can't number it. Now, to Ecclesiastes, the second chapter, verse 4. And he says, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also, I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. Verse 8 of Ecclesiastes 2. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And here again, he comes to this conclusion. Behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. We boil it all down. We need to come to a similar conclusion. We need to summarize the events and the achievements of our lives just like Solomon did. There's no prophet under the sun. Granted, there's things that we must do for our existence, for our life, for our health, for our families' happiness, and for their life and health and their well-being. But what is being said here? In all that we do physically, in all that we attain physically, when it comes down to it, it is no more than vanity and vexation of spirit, because it does nothing for the soul. Man, we come into this world with nothing, and be assured, we're going to go out with nothing. Let me rephrase that. We come in with a soul, and we're going to go out with a soul. We come in with a soul that's pure, other than with that inherent nature. Amen. We're all born with that carnal nature, and we're not going to get into preaching about sanctification and carnality. But that soul is innocent. That heart in that baby is innocent and accepted of God. That's why it's such a horrible thing when thousands upon thousands of babies are aborted, lives killed. The consolation is that those unborn babies, or as it is anymore, they can be born and killed. The consolation is they'll go to heaven because their hearts are pure. We come into this world with a soul. And oh, what men do to their souls. Those of you that are listening to me this morning, sitting in your living room, your family room, wherever you might be, what you did to your soul, you came to that age of accountability and you were accountable for those sins that you were committing, and you didn't stop there. Sin has a motion to it. And it takes a woman a lot farther than they ever think they'll go. It leads them into immorality, leads them into wickedness, to such unmentionable sins. Unmentionable sins. It's a shame even to talk about some things. Men damage themselves because of drugs. Men damage themselves because of alcohol. Men lose homes. They lose fortunes. They lose wives. They lose their children because of gambling. Oh, where that soul has gone to. Where sin took that soul. As you sit there this morning, I want you to ponder that. Young person, I want you to ponder that. Those of you that are not saved, I want you to take a serious thought here. Give serious thought to what I'm saying. Your soul, where is it gone? You've lost your innocence. What have you labored for? And even in all of our good labor, and even in all of our good objectives and goals that are met, things that we've been able to do and allowed to do after salvation, we still have to step back and come to this conclusion. It's all vanity and vexation of spirit. And it's the soul that matters. It's the soul that matters. Others will profit because of our work. Others will profit because of our labor. But when it comes down to our soul, our bare soul that was given to us when we were conceived, it is that which will leave this earth and go back to the Creator. All that considered, Amos says in chapter 4 and verse 12, prepare to meet thy God. People prepare for a lot of things. Prepare, build, create, plant, water. Any joy that they look for, they won't deny themselves of it, and they reach out and they grab it, and on it goes. Amos says, prepare to meet thy God. How much preparation have you put in to meeting your God. This morning, wherever you are, you who's listening to this on our website, how much preparation have you put forth to meet God? It's more than just listening. It's more than watching. It's even more than just going to church. It takes a confession of your sins. It takes a broken and contrite spirit. It takes a humbling. It takes an admission, I'm a sinner, and Lord, I need saved. That is how a man or a woman prepares to meet God. And that humility that will bring a sinner to their knees, amen, that humility is required from that point on to stay prepared if you're going to meet God and spend eternity in heaven. Mark 13, verses 34 to 37. Mark 13, verses 34 to 37. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey who left his house and gave authority to his servants, to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. We don't know when he's going to return, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Verse 37, and what I say unto you, I say unto all. One word, capitalized, capital W, watch, watch. From Jesus Christ himself, prepare, watch, watch and be ready. This is not the time to be given to worldly care. Worldliness has the ability to take a myriad of forms. Its disguises are numerous. Worldliness takes all sorts of form. Wears all sorts of disguise. This is not the time to be given to worldly care. Regardless of its appearance or name, worldliness draws the soul away from God. And that is the best way to describe worldliness. It is that which draws the soul away from God. Parents, listen to me. Amen. As we are under a stay-at-home order, for the last couple weeks, everyone has been home regardless. We need to make sure, amen, that our homes are spiritual. We need to make sure that that which we allow in our homes will not cause any member of that household to be drawn away from God. Amen. Those of you that work, amen, you need to be careful. Those of you that are working from home, you need to be careful. Amen. You need to be careful of that time on the internet. You need to be careful, amen, of where you're going as far as surfing the web and things such as that. Those of you that are still out working in the public, you need to be careful. Amen. No, there's not a whole lot that we can do outside our homes, but we still need to be very careful, amen, that worldliness or a worldly mindset or putting something before God, amen, will not draw our soul away from him. We need to be very careful of that. Are you spiritual enough to discern the time? Are you spiritual enough to discern the time? Matthew 16, verses 1 to 4. Matthew 16, verses 1 to 4. I can say this as your pastor. I wish that some of you would have taken the time, back to our title, Time and Times, taken the time so when times like this came, you would have taken the time so when times like this came, you would have been more spiritual. Sinner, I wish you would have taken the time so when times like this came, you would have already repented and been saved. The thought stays with me. My wife brought it to me, and I think one of my sons brought it to me a couple weeks ago. Yeah, there's no more church. We're not having church services. Not to say that there's no more church. Church will always be the church, but we're not able to gather together. Yeah, there's not that. But if you look a little more deeply into that, there's no more altar calls. No more preaching where the Holy Spirit can really deal with hearts as we're assembled together. No more songs of invitation. No more opportunity to bow at this altar rail that's in front of me. See, some of you sinners, amen, did not take the time to prepare for times like this. This critical period of time. This is a critical period of time. Man, if something was to happen to you, you're not ready. But there is a more critical period of time in which we're living and which awaits us. This preliminary time of judgment is a critical period of time. Some of you haven't availed yourself to it. And that ultimate critical period of time, Christ coming, second coming, you're not ready. You haven't taken the time to prepare for these times. Matthew 16, verse 1. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempted, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but can you not discern the sign of the times? The sign of the times. You could have known. Our text. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. Man, knowing the time. Oh, you hypocrites. You can desire the face of the sky, but can you not discern the sign of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. They had their opportunity. He gave them the truth. He said there would not be any other sign than what the sign that Jonas gave to the people of Nineveh. And with that, he left them and departed. Well, let's go to Jonah. Jonah 3, verses 4 to 5. Jonah 3, verses 4 to 5. What is this sign of the prophet of Jonas? It's not so hard that we can't understand. It's very easy to understand. It's very simple. Jonah 3, verses 4 to 5. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and he said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Nineveh was given a time. They were given a time, and they were given a sentence. A time and a sentence. You have 40 days. And if you do not do what's necessary, amen, to plead for God's mercy, Nineveh will be overthrown, meaning Nineveh will be destroyed. His sign was, you have 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even unto the least of them. And if you read farther, amen, even to their animals. The animals fasted. They took the message of Noah. They took the message of the prophet of God to heart. They took it very seriously. Noah had but one message to preach, but it was a message full of truth. He had one message with one title, and it was repent. And he went all over the city of Nineveh, and it was a huge, sprawling city. It was a huge, sprawling metropolis. And he went all over, that city, preaching that singular message, repent, repent. And the people believed him. They believed God. And they accepted that sign. They accepted the sign of the gospel. They accepted the truth that came their way. And they did something about it because they realized they only had 40 days to plead the mercy of God, to change the mind of God. In their case, it worked for their salvation. Time and times. Sinner, you've been given time for times like this. You've been given time to prepare for the time that awaits us, the time of Christ's return. What have you done with it? Some of you are backslidden today. You've played fast and loose with your soul. You've followed your own arrogant spirit. You've got your mouth out of control. You haven't been able to handle yourself as you should. And you're ill-prepared. You're ill-prepared. You've not stayed prepared. You've not stayed awake. You've allowed your pride and your arrogance to bring a sleep over you. And you're not ready. Amen. Do you discern the time we live in? Hebrews 5 and 14. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You have the Holy Spirit within you. You'll be able to discern what is good and what is evil. As we go through this world, we need to have that discernment of things, amen, that are evil and things that are good. But also, when it comes to our own judgment, when it comes to how we react, we have to have the Holy Spirit within us to discern, amen. These are not good actions. I do not need to do this. This is how I need to behave. This is how I've been taught. This is how I've been instructed. Where's the Holy Spirit? Where's the Holy Ghost, saint of God? Where's the Holy Ghost, backslider? Avoiding backsliding in these perilous times is possible if the child of God will do two things: believe the word of the Lord and seek counsel of him. Avoiding backsliding in these perilous times is possible if the child of God will trust the discernment and the counsel of the pastor. I've been given to you for a reason, to feed you with knowledge and understanding, to consult with, to have pray over your problems and your needs. Many times I feel more burdened for your soul, sinner, than you feel burdened yourself. Saint of God, amen, you need to continue to trust the discernment and the counsel of your pastor. You need to continue to believe the word of the Lord and continue to seek counsel of him. If you do, you'll avoid backsliding. Remember, backsliding is an evil thing. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 8. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lead not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And during these times, lean not to your own understanding. It's time, it is time to cast off the works of darkness. That which men want to keep secret. Man, I can't see your faces this morning. I can't preach to you directly this morning. I can't look across, sanctuary at you, your families. I can't look from the front pews to the back. The Holy Spirit, though, is looking. The Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart. And I trust this morning that your families, saved or unsaved, are all gathered together listening to the Word of God, just like they would if we were coming to church. I trust, mom and dad, you've not given, amen, your unsaved children a pass not to be in service this morning. The service which is held in your living room or family room. That's not how it operates. Amen. You have an obligation to their souls. Don't go soft. This is a time to cast off the works of darkness. Sinner, those things you want to keep secret, You need to cast them off. Those things that you know are unacceptable, you need to get rid of them. Those things you know would cause hurt. Oh, I'm just grieved this morning because there have been some hurtful things done and said, which would have been better to never have been picked up and pointed and directed. Man, if they would have just been left alone. Now is the time, amen, to cast off those things that would cause hurt. Those things that men and women are ashamed of. Those things, amen, that people fear the results of. You ought to fear the coming of the Lord. You ought to fear the judgment if you're not saved. You need to cast off those things that you know will do great damage. Why would anybody want to damage someone else? How horrible. You know, Paul, or is it John? Let me go over there. Maybe it's in James. Where's that scripture says you kill? Huh? James. You find it? Anybody find it? You found it at home, but you can't tell me. Anyway, it says you kill. James 4 and 2. Thank you, Sister Carnes. Very good. Yeah, let's start with verse 1. We're dealing with this thought of casting off the things that would damage, that would hurt. James 4 and 1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Talking about carnality here. In verse 2, you lust and you have not. You kill and you desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not, because you ask not. You ask and you receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lusts. Say, Brother Carnes, I haven't killed anybody. You can kill someone's reputation. You can damage, amen, their witness. And you can desire to damage reputation and witness, amen, with your mouth and with your tongue. You kill, amen. Fighting and warring ought not be named amongst us, those of us that are called saints. We live in a time when not much is kept hidden in dark places of a person's life. Isn't that the truth? There is no need to hide iniquity when there is no shame. And that's the world we live in today. My people are bold with their sins. People still hide sins. They still hide their transgressions. They still keep things covered and hid away, hoping no one will ever find them. But we live in a world today which is increasingly bold, increasingly fierce. Amen. Like Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, 1-5. When people feel that there's no shame to the sin they're doing, then there's no need to hide their iniquity. They're out in the open. They're bold. Amen. That's why they proclaim, their perversion and their inordinate affection, and they fly their flags, and they have their rallies, and all sorts. There's no shame. There's no shame. Therefore, there's no need to hide iniquity. That's the time we live in. But saying to God, amen, we must in this time, we must practice discretion always, always. Man, we need to live every day before God. We need to live every day as though it would be our last. Amen. We need to discern the time. We need to take the time to be holy because of the time or times in which we live, and the time that is coming. Amen. We need to apply ourselves. We must practice discretion. We must practice prudence. We must practice holiness. Amen. We must live godly. Amen. We must be chaste. All this before God And all this before, amen, the world in which we live. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. We read that in Proverbs 28, verse 13. In Isaiah 30 and 1, it says, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel but not of me, and that cover with a covering but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. We need to be very careful here. There's a point in this, in Isaiah 30 and 1, I want you to get. Cover with a covering, but not of my spirit. You can cover the things you do, or you can justify the things you do and say with your spirit. But you need to make sure, amen, that what you are engaged in, what you're doing and saying is backed by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Woe unto the rebellious children that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. In Colossians 4 and 5, as we practice discretion, as we practice godliness and holiness, from the Amplified, it reads, behave yourselves wisely, living prudently, and with discretion. In your relations with those of the outside world, the non-Christian, making the very most of the time and seizing, buying up the opportunity, redeeming the time. The days are evil. Live prudently, saints. Live with discretion. Behave yourself wisely. Take that time because of the times. Take that time to remain prepared, to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, because that time of Christ's return is pending. As we finish this message, I'd like to turn to Ephesians 5, verses 14 to 17. Ephesians 5, 14 to 17. And we have one other scripture beside that found in 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. Ephesians 5, verses 14 to 17. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2. Ephesians 5. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. In 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. There's a message here. There are thoughts in this message for the sinner and the saved. There is that which will give us good instruction and guidance for the times in which we live. But what good is the instruction? What good is the preaching of God's word if you don't take the time to live it? We can't have an altar call. We can't sing a number of verses and have you move out of your pew to the altar. But I do pray that this message will deal with every heart that has heard it. And I pray the Holy Ghost will touch your heart, finger your heart, and cause you to realize the time and the times in which we live. We'll sing a song in closing.